Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, June the 28th, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. We have two very special guests today who are doing great work with Habitat for Humanity of the Charlotte region, Greg Simpson and Krista Ray. They are the latest guests in our ongoing series of Habitat for Humanity guests as we highlight the wonderful work they do for people and communities. First, though, let's go to my co-host, Richard Hurley. Hello, Rick. How are things going in North Central Florida?
Hey, David. How you doing? Everything's going pretty well here. It's getting pretty warm, though. Not as bad as out west, but it's warm enough. But we're always keeping busy as usual. And before I introduce our guests, I want to remind our listeners that this is a call-in show. We welcome your views, your comments, your questions. So call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call number is 1-888-627-6008. And during the show, we'll try to give that number out again. Now I'd like to introduce our two guests, Greg Simpson and Krista Ray. Greg Simpson is an AmeriCorps construction crew leader with Habitat for Humanity of the Charlotte region. Prior to his AmeriCorps service, Greg served in the United States Navy as an electrician on board the USS Ronald Reagan and was part of three deployments in 4 years. During his time in the Navy, Greg volunteered with Habitat for Humanity in Singapore and in Thailand, which helped him develop a strong desire to help the community and a caring spirit toward others around the world. Greg received his degree in aeronautics after leaving the military in 2012 and later became an airline and commercial helicopter pilot. Now finding the fulfillment he desired, Greg left the aviation industry to pursue a more meaningful career, which ultimately led him to an opportunity with Habitat Charlotte in April 2020 as an AmeriCorps member. Greg is currently wrapping up his first term as a construction crew leader and is preparing to begin his second term. Krista Ray is the Young Adult Engagement Coordinator at Habitat for Humanity at the Charlotte region, where she oversees and manages the AmeriCorps program at the organization. Krista's career with Habitat Charlotte and passion for AmeriCorps began when she served two terms with the Habitat AmeriCorps as a resource development VISTA member and construction crew leader. Krista's previous positions also include roles with Habitat Charlotte's Family Services Team and with the local branch of the American Red Cross. Krista is a graduate of the University of Georgia's Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. I'd like to welcome both of you to our show, the Veterans News Hour. Krista, let's start with you. I understand you manage the AmeriCorps program for Habitat of the Charlotte region. What is the AmeriCorps program, and how did the Habitat for Humanity AmeriCorps program begin? What does the program look like at Habitat for Humanity of the Charlotte region?
Yeah, so the AmeriCorps program is a federal agency connecting individuals and organizations to tackle the nation's most pressing challenges. AmeriCorps focuses on six key areas to make an impact: economic opportunity, disaster response, education, environmental stewardship, healthy futures, and veterans and family services. Every year, the program places more than 270,000 AmeriCorps members and AmeriCorps senior volunteers with organizations across the country. The Habitat AmeriCorps program began in 1994 and placed 122 AmeriCorps members in five locations to support Habitat's work. Since then, more than 11,500 AmeriCorps members have worked with Habitat to serve more than 126,000 individuals, engaging more than 4.7 million volunteers and raising tens of millions of dollars to meet the housing needs of families in the U.S. And here at Habitat Charlotte Region, we began hosting members in 1997 with a group of just five members. Since then, we've hosted more than 225 AmeriCorps members in either National Direct or AmeriCorps VISTA roles. And we host a group of about 18 to 20 members each year in a variety of positions across our service area. Several of our members are military veterans, and we've also had several members who have gone on to serve in the military after completing their AmeriCorps service. The AmeriCorps program is funded and supported by the Corporation for National and Community Service, the Federal Agency for Volunteering, Civic Engagement, and National Service Programs like AmeriCorps.
That's, Krista, that's very impressive. Thank you for sharing that, and I hope our listeners are inspired to learn more about the AmeriCorps program and Habitat for Humanity. As you know, our show focuses a lot on veteran issues and bringing awareness to the challenges that veterans face when they leave the military. And one of those challenges often is pretty fundamental, which is finding a job. What are some of the challenges that veterans encounter when looking for employment? And I throw this question out for either of you, but I know Greg, as a veteran, is probably has some unique insights. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I think finding employment is definitely an obstacle that thousands of veterans face upon leaving the military. A veteran may have never looked for, applied for, or interviewed for a civilian job before, especially if they started their military career at a young age. Veterans may struggle with translating their military experience into a civilian sector job, or they may have difficulty finding a job that is meaningful to them or gives them a sense of purpose and also helps them feel that they're continuing to serve their country. According to a 2020 report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the unemployment rate of veterans who served in the U.S. Armed Forces at any point since September 2001 increased to 7.3% in 2020. And that's really just a direct reflection of COVID-19's impact on the labor market that ultimately left nearly 800,000 veterans without work during the pandemic. Here in Charlotte, a local nonprofit, Veteran Bridge Home, has found that employment services is the second most requested service among veterans that it supports in the Carolinas.
Yeah, wow, I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you guys tonight. You know, when people join the military, they get what we call a rate or a job assigned. And that's usually based on several factors, to include ASVAB scores and the availability of positions at the time. You know, when it comes time to transition from active duty back to the, you know, quote-unquote real world, veterans may experience challenges sometimes. You know, they may have been working in a field that they may not be good in, they might not like it, or they simply may not find that particular job fulfilling. Like Krista mentioned earlier, you know, it's a possibility that the skills that they learn in that military job may not directly transfer to a civilian job, even if it seems like it may be the same. You know, an F-18 mechanic may not be able to work on commercial airplanes if they were working on ejection seats or the arresting gear, because it just doesn't transfer. You know, flight deck workers, weapons officers, submariners. These are all very specific roles, and a transition may not be that easy. And Krista mentioned joining at a young age. You know, the longer you've been in the military, the more difficult it can be to assimilate back to civilian society, particularly in the job market. You know, because active duty military members sometimes become very dependent on the rigid military structure that simply doesn't exist as a civilian. I remember when I was about to get out, I went to a program called TAP, which is the Transition Assistance Program. And all military members have to do this within about a year of getting out. And I was told there that it takes about 8 years for the average veteran to fully readjust to civilian life. And of course, you know, this process can be exacerbated by poor planning. They may not have any support at home. They may have PTSD, and sometimes, you know, life just happens.
Greg, I think those are great insights. As a veteran myself, I served 12 years active duty in the Air Force and then 8 years in the Reserve. But when I left active duty, as you described, yeah, it's a whole different world, basically. As you said, kind of going back to the real world, the military is a very closed, sort of rigid, self-contained society unto itself, as I know you know, and that transition is not always easy for the reasons you've mentioned. So I appreciate your insight, and we're going to have more questions for you, Greg. Let me first turn back to Kristen, though. Krista, I know one of the facets of Habitat's Veterans Bill program is employment, which helps veterans find employment opportunities through Habitat for Humanity. How does the Habitat AmeriCorps program fulfill that part of the program?
So the Habitat AmeriCorps program helps veterans gain valuable real-world experience and plan for their future. Habitat's mission is to bring people together to build homes, communities, and hope, and AmeriCorps members play a vital role in the mission by fostering civic engagement and community development. Prior experience is not a requirement to service as a Habitat AmeriCorps member, and supervisors are equipped to train and teach new members the skills necessary to lead volunteers through the construction tasks. For example, managing groups of skilled and unskilled volunteers and homeowners in process on construction sites helps members maximize construction knowledge and gives valuable insight into the home building process while also gaining hands-on project management experience. And when I say that prior experience is not required, I really mean that. I like to say that if I can do it, anyone can. You know, and members have the opportunity to also shadow Habitat staff and construction subcontractors such as engineers, architects, and skilled tradesmen to gain more knowledge about the facets of Habitat or the home building and construction process. With the Habitat AmeriCorps program, applicants apply to a specific position, so they're able to tailor their search to what they're interested in and positions that will give them experience and skills in their desired field. It's also a great opportunity to try something new since it's a contract position with low barrier to entry.
Well, that's awesome. And again, I hope our listeners are that might be interested themselves or know someone that might, that they'll look into the Habitat AmeriCorps program. Greg, let me ask you to tell us more about your service in the Navy. I know we have a lot of veteran and veteran families listening, and veterans, you know, they like to hear what other veterans did in the service. And then after you left the service, what were your experiences that subsequently then led you to Habitat?
Yeah, you know, I joined the Navy in 2008. And, you know, with my ASVAB score, I qualified for several different jobs. But unfortunately, the one that I really wanted wasn't available at the time. And, you know, the Navy, there's a saying, you know, needs of the Navy. And so my recruiter basically told me, you know, you're going to have to wait quite a while for this job to possibly open up. And I didn't want to do that. So I ultimately chose electrician's mate. So I went to boot camp and I went to A school. And then I was assigned to the USS Ronald Reagan, which some people affectionately call the Rockin' Ronnie. and there I did three deployments in 4 years. I did a surge, I did a RIMPAC, and I did a full-on deployment going out to Operation Tomodachi in Japan. But it was in the middle of my four-year enlistment that I decided, after seeing some Seahawks on the flight deck, that I really wanted to learn how to fly helicopters. Because doing it in the Navy was not an option, I started making plans to transition and to pursue it as a civilian. And so in 2012, I got my discharge papers and I went right into college and I became a commercial helicopter pilot and a flight instructor. And I did that for a few years. And while I was working as a helicopter instructor, I began flying airplanes kind of as a thing to do, if you will. And after I got those licenses, I applied for and got a job as a commercial airplane pilot. But, you know, after 3 years of flying airplanes, and you know, I realized that it's just not something that I wanted to do. It just wasn't where I wanted to be. And so in January of 2020, I resigned with the intention of going back to helicopters. But, of course, we know what happened in 2020, and COVID had different plans. And so, you know, just not being able to find a job flying helicopters or really find any other opportunities, I started looking online and I stumbled upon a posting for Habitat AmeriCorps in late April. And because of my prior work with Habitat, you know, I figured why not? And I decided to apply.
I see. Now I know when Rick Hurley introduced you, you know, he had mentioned your experience with Habitat when you were in the Navy in Singapore and in Thailand, and could you tell us a bit about that, and then perhaps, you know, more about your more recent Habitat experience? What was it like overseas? Let's start with that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The first time I did some work for Habitat was on my very first deployment in 2009. We hit Singapore and Thailand. In Singapore, we volunteered to do a cleanup of a facility called the Boys Town facility, which was a shelter for boys who needed a place to call home. And it was a great experience, amazing experience, working with different sailors of all ranks. They were chiefs, they were officers, brand new sailors like myself at the time, just coming together to make this place livable for these young men. We brought them lunch, we talked with them through interpreters, and I remember we even played a little bit of soccer with them. And so on that deployment, I signed up for another opportunity, which we call Comrels, community relations. And this time it was to build a house in Thailand for a single mom. And again, just another amazing experience, a great experience. When you do these types of projects, there's no rank, there's no ego. You show up, you're told what to do, and you just do your part to help wherever you can. And so in 2020, when I came across that Habitat job posting that I mentioned earlier, I was already familiar with Habitat, and when I applied for the position after speaking with Krista and Josh, that was actually the first time I heard about AmeriCorps. I initially applied for a family services position, and I was told that there were no more slots available. But, Krista did a great job, and she really encouraged me to apply for the construction crew leader position. And I think, the thought of leading groups of skilled and unskilled volunteers and building homes for needy members of society, there's something like that just really intrigued me. And so I took up the challenge, and I started serving as a construction crew leader. And, a year later, I'm ready to head into my second term.
Wow, thanks. And Greg, but before I ask you more about, what you see as the value of AmeriCorps programs for other service members, I don't want to miss the opportunity to ask you to share your experience. I was in the Air Force, and I've had relatives that serve in the Navy. I have a nephew that serves in submarines, but I've never been in the Navy myself, and I think a lot of our listeners, they may have served in other branches, but I'm always intrigued. Can you tell us, what was life like on a big aircraft carrier? I know you had multiple deployments. What was that like before we kind of get back to talking about Habitat?
It's literally a small city. I believe the max capacity on my last deployment was 4,700. We have a strike group of about seven different ships that are always with us, to include a submarine. But it's really a floating city. We have gyms, we have barbershops, we have not really restaurants, but we have a mess deck. On the last deployment, we had a Starbucks kiosk installed on the Reagan.
Wow.
And so, it's a lot of people in a very small place, but it's a well-oiled machine. You get out there, you do several months worth of preparation in terms of going out to sea and coming back. And my first deployment was 6 months, my second was seven, and my last was almost 10. And so a lot of time at sea in a very short period of time, but definitely a unique experience. I saw things that I would never have seen. I was able to cross the equator a couple times. We had opportunities to swim in the Pacific. We had opportunities to visit places that I really probably would never have dreamed of visiting as a tourist. But, great experience. Definitely a learning experience. Really, really good times. Really, really bad times. But all in all, definitely proud of that four-year period of my life.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Greg. I'm always fascinated to hear other veterans' experiences. Now, as a veteran, can you tell us, in your view, how programs like Habitat, AmeriCorps' program, how they help service members as they make that sometimes tough transition from active duty to civilian life?
Yeah, I would like to think of AmeriCorps as being somewhat of a softer transition from the military into civilian society than many other jobs might be. And I say that simply because it's such a service-oriented program where former service members, and especially newly transitioning members, can can test the waters. It's not money driven. It's not driven by economics. You know, they may want to do a specific trade. They may want to end up in management or being a supervisor. They may not know what they want to do just yet, but they definitely have many, many options to explore. I think they may find a rewarding career. Many, many people stay, or at least, you know, progress into something similar in a supervisory or management role. And if not, you know, at the very minimum, it's a great, great way to meet many civilian contacts. I think AmeriCorps offers veterans an opportunity to showcase some hands-on talent, especially when you look at the AmeriCorps Habitat relationship. And of course, at the same time, you're leading and serving the community, something that a lot of veterans are going to be very familiar with. And I think many veterans, they really struggle when they transition because there may not be a plan in place. And the truth be told, even if there is a well-intentioned plan, you know, life still happens and things still don't always work out. So I think that if a veteran is struggling with what they're going to do, you know, looking at Habitat, AmeriCorps specifically, is a great look. And I think they'll find camaraderie, and I think they'll find somewhat of a structure there that they may be familiar with. You know, the education award, student loan deferment, possible housing, depending on what city and state that they're in. These are all things that make this program very attractive to veterans.
I see. Greg, and what's the usual time commitment or the options for, you know, a time commitment if someone said, yes, sign me up for a Habitat AmeriCorps program?
You know, it's called a year of service, but really what you're looking at is about 10 and a half months, which is your year of service.
I see. And can you re-up, you know, like re-enlist in the military? Can you, what are the options for that if someone said, I really want to make this a long-term, you know, endeavor?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, you can. You know, I'm headed into my second term. You can do a maximum of four in one area of it, but then you can move on to others. And the education award you can get basically twice, but you only qualify for two education awards per term, or excuse me, two education awards total, although you can do multiple terms. So you can definitely re-up. You can definitely use it as an opportunity to get really good at the trade that you're in or the job that you're in. You can bounce around to different programs. It's just so many options available.
Well, I think that would be great and definitely offer service members to do something which they're used to doing, which is to help, you know, serving a cause greater than themselves. And they're used to being part of a team. And I think that's a great feature of it. Now, let me turn things back over to my co-host, Rick Hurley. Rick.
Yeah, Greg, I got a question for you. Prior to your service, were you when you were in high school, were you involved in any service organizations, community programs within your high school?
You know, actually, I wasn't. I grew up partially in the Caribbean, and so not that things like that didn't exist, but honestly, I didn't do a lot of community-related endeavors while I was in high school, just because at the time, you know, I didn't see anything that really interested me. I guess it wasn't until I joined the Navy that I kind of really started to look at, you know, serving the community in different ways. I did Toys for Tots, and of course my service work with Habitat.
That's great. Yeah, because you know, this day and age, a lot of high schools require kids doing service. Some of it's the benefit to getting into college. So I was just curious as to whether or not you've had any of that experience.
Right.
But that's really good. David, back to you.
Okay. Well, I want to give our listeners sort of the keys to the program here, and I'll throw this question out for either of you. What should our listeners do to find out more about Habitat for Humanity, and then specifically the Habitat AmeriCorps program?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that anyone interested in learning more about Habitat for Humanity can go to www.habitat.org or look for Habitat for Humanity on any social media channels just to learn more about the work that Habitat does. There are many different programs to serve the community, to serve potential homeowners in process, really just to advocate for affordable housing. So many ways to be involved with Habitat as a volunteer. Lots of just different opportunities, youth programs for those in high school that might need community service, you know, campus chapters for those in college who want to serve, Habitat Young Professionals, and then just lifetime volunteers, all of it. I think, you know, there really is just, like I said, Habitat's mission, bringing people together, and we really work with so many different people to make the dream of affordable homeownership a reality. So to learn more, you know, about the Habitat AmeriCorps program, Habitat Charlotte Region is currently recruiting for several AmeriCorps positions in construction, warehouse management, volunteer services, and family services, doing things like community development, assisting with financial literacy and homeownership readiness courses, and supporting homeowners through the process of homeownership and critical home repair. We really have a large community of AmeriCorps alumni on our staff. Many serve as direct supervisors to AmeriCorps. And as Greg mentioned above, you know, serving in the community leads to a lot of great connections. And some of the benefits that Greg talked about of the AmeriCorps program, like a living allowance, education award that can be used to pay down qualifying student loans or towards future education, medical coverage, child care assistance, counseling, and financial planning through the member assistance program, and workers' compensation. And at Habitat Charlotte Region, we provide free housing for our AmeriCorps members. That's a benefit that we just really felt strongly amidst, you know, the housing market in Charlotte that we wanted to provide for our members. So to learn more about our program and open positions, you can go to www.habitatcltregion.org and you know, can find out more there or by emailing me. I'm happy to share my email address and can also learn more about other affiliates, Habitat affiliates across the country that host AmeriCorps members as well. You know, Greg and I think Charlotte is a great place to live, but we understand that maybe you want to serve in the community that you are already in. And you can learn more about that by going to habitat.org and looking at long-term opportunities for the AmeriCorps program.
Oh, that's awesome. And Crystal, let me just ask you one follow-up to that. For a listener that might say, yeah, I'm really interested. I'm going to go to the website and see the opportunities. And then they go through, what they should expect as far as like the application and then sort of onboarding process to give people an idea of what, you know, what the first few weeks or month might be?
Yeah, absolutely. So all applications go through the online application portal and they're forwarded, you know, directly to the host site manager at the affiliate for review and, you know, going through the interview process. And then, you know, there's some paperwork involved. And then once you get to the affiliate to get started, at Habitat Charlotte, we do a full orientation. You know, many of our members are new to Charlotte. There are a few that are from Charlotte, but we want to provide a great introduction to Habitat, to the Charlotte community, to the South. And so we do, you know, tours and sessions with different members of our staff just to learn more about the work that we do and the work that our AmeriCorps members are going to do and, you know, just try to prep and equip them. But then I would say that all the hands-on training and learning, the construction tasks or direct position-related tasks, they just take place on the job. It's really like a very hands-on learning experience. And all of that credit is to the Habitat supervisors who really are very equipped to train and teach. And I think in Charlotte specifically, you know, most of our direct supervisors are former AmeriCorps members themselves. And so they remember what it's like stepping onto a job site for the first time. And can definitely relate to a new group of AmeriCorps each year, whether they maybe have some Habitat or construction experience or if they don't. And just really working through all the different construction tasks and you know, really just hands-on work throughout the year that is just a meaningful service experience.
Well, that's super. I appreciate that. And Krista, you had mentioned earlier that Habitat Charlotte felt it was very important, I guess, to, if I understood you correctly, to provide housing for the participants in the program. And what does that entail? So an applicant might have sort of a visual expectation of, you know, what that would involve.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So we do provide housing for our AmeriCorps members at Habitat Charlotte Region. And so it is sort of a dorm-style apartments that we have for our AmeriCorps members. They're located above our office. And so it's, you know, four-bedroom apartments where the AmeriCorps member has a private bedroom, but then share a kitchen, bathroom, and then like a smaller sitting area with all utilities included. And then we have a larger common area, on-site laundry, a back deck and grill, things like that for our members to try to make it an enjoyable place to live, and just, you know, sort of stretch that living allowance a little further for our members. And I think it can also be fun to live with your fellow AmeriCorps members and really, you know, help build those bonds and connections.
Oh, absolutely. Greg, let me ask you this question, because I understand you're just finishing up your first term as a construction crew leader. What could you tell someone that might be interested in the program, kind of what, you know, a day in the life of a construction team member, basically?
Yeah, you know, it's real construction. You know, you show up at the work site, or you may go to the warehouse, or you actually may go to one of the suppliers to pick up, you know, parts or lumber or things, you know, generally around 7:30 in the morning. And it's literally real construction. The only difference, I believe, would be that we have teams of volunteers that come out. And again, you know, these individuals come out for a multitude of reasons, but it's generally because they want to be a part of something selfless, you know, helping individuals with build these homes that may not otherwise be able to afford it. But, you know, a day in the life, it's real construction. You know, we build walls and you know, we build foundations and roofs and sheds, and it's a good time. You know, if you really want to learn to trade, it's something where I believe it's a great way to step in. I don't think you would be able to apply to a normal organization that is expecting you to come in with knowledge and you know, understand how to build. They don't expect that from you. What they expect is for you to show up wanting to learn, wanting to do the job, and wanting to help. I mean, I've learned so much. I really can't sit here and say that I expected to have supervisors, you know, hold my hand through the process of building a home from step one all the way over to, you know, turning over the keys to a homeowner.
Mm. Well, I know, and you'll probably agree with this, Greg, in the military, you know, everyone that serves in the military has the benefit of a lot of kind of like collected, accumulated corporate knowledge, you know, that's been passed on really from sort of one decade to the next in the military, you know, as far as like standing operating procedures, and the training is such a big thing in the military. I would expect that, you know, that Habitat for Humanity, since they've been around for such a long time doing this, that they're pretty quite good at, you know, at utilizing the skills of whether it's AmeriCorps personnel or the people, like you said earlier, they're volunteers that come in for various reasons. Is that fair to say? Is that what you experience?
You know, absolutely. I the way I look at it, I think managing the volunteers is, I don't want to call it a difficult part of the job, but it's the part of the job that you have to learn more than anything else, because the supervisors and the managers are so good at the actual construction that, you know, it flows. It's a choreography, and it just really kind of works together. You know, I think a softer transition than you would in a job where, again, you're expected to come in with this knowledge. But here at Habitat, it's very family oriented. You know, we do safety meetings every Tuesday because, you know, safety is huge. And we want to make sure that the workers are safe, the AmeriCorps are safe, the volunteers are safe. Whenever the homeowners come out to help, we want to make sure that they're safe. And it's a dance. It's a choreography, and it's really well set up. You know, there are many people you can call when you don't have the answer. I'm yet to experience a supervisor telling me they don't have time to help me or they don't know what to do. And in the times where I find myself not knowing what to do, is a multitude of individuals I can go to. We have manuals. We have supervisors on site. We have managers that come around where we can basically tap into their knowledge.
Wow, that's awesome. I know when you were mentioning volunteers and Habitat, someone that comes to my mind, and Rick Hurley will probably agree, is former President Jimmy Carter. And I don't know, has he ever volunteered in Charlotte with you all?
He has, yeah. The Jimmy Carter Work Project, which is a huge volunteer initiative that takes place every year, was in Charlotte in 1987. And they built 21 houses in a week.
Wow. I shook President Carter's hand back in 1979, whenever he was the president still.
And he still hasn't washed that hand.
Well, you don't have to reveal all my secrets, Rick. Well, I appreciate the insights, and you know, we've still got several more minutes we can devote to the interview. So I want to give both Krista and Greg an opportunity, you know, to share anything more that maybe we haven't specifically asked you to share, but something you'd really like our listeners to know about Habitat and the AmeriCorps program, and then also to remind our listeners one more time how they can find out more.
All I would say is this is actually not even about just veterans. Anyone who, you know, may not have the next step planned out, that you know, they might look at the situation and think, you know, this is something that I believe I can do. Apply. You know, I think there are many, many great opportunities to learn and to grow in this specific program. I think the benefits are absolutely amazing, with the education and the possible housing and the ability to come in and to learn what would turn out to be a very valuable asset to have in construction, in learning volunteer services and how to help families. It's just a great opportunity. So if you're struggling and you need somewhere to go at the moment, you know, definitely look at Habitat, AmeriCorps, and then that union. I think it's definitely worth it.
Oh, great! And Krista.
Yeah, I'll just add that, you know, I think that if maybe you're looking at a change in careers and you're not sure what you want to do, that Habitat AmeriCorps is a great gap year to sort of help you figure that out. I think that we have had a number of people come in at all different stages of life, really. You know, I think the requirement is maybe at least 18 years old, but we have members in their 50s and 60s that serve on the construction site every day. So we really do have a wide range of members serving with us each year. And that it's a lot more than construction or working with families. You also gain a lot of the soft skills, or could build on, you know, some of the skills that you gained in military service, like leadership and project management and conflict resolution and communication skills, that it's a lot more than just construction or just working with family, that there are so many translatable skills with the Habitat AmeriCorps program. And then also just wanted to add that, you know, there are a lot of ways that Habitat Charlotte Region serves veterans in the community. And so through homeownership opportunities, critical home repair, there are different partnerships that we have with different veterans groups in the community, and having veterans come out and volunteer with us as well. So lots of ways to get connected if that is something that you are interested in or looking at. And that all that information can be found on our website. And so, again, that is www.habitatcltregion.org. Or you can always just Google Habitat Charlotte Region, and we'll pop right up.
Well, that's Chris, awesome. And go ahead,
Chris,
Greg.
I got a question for you. You gave an age range of 18, and you got some people in their 50s. But What would you say is the bulk of, in terms of the age range, in their 20s,
yeah,
early 20s, mid-20s?
You know, again, it really, every year is a wide variety. The bulk can typically be, you know, in their mid-20s, just out of undergrad or just out of graduate school, or maybe they worked for a few years and realized that that career path wasn't for them and wanted to take a gap year to sort of gather their thoughts and see what maybe they want to do in the future. But then, again, several members in their 30s, 40s, and then some who do this as a retirement position or just later in life found that they weren't as fulfilled with what they were doing and wanted to try something new as well.
That's awesome. Back to you, David.
Okay, well, thank you both for being on our show, Krista Ray and Greg Simpson of Habitat for Humanity and Habitat's AmeriCorps program. Thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing to help people and to help your community, and especially in the Charlotte region. I'd like to thank you both for being on our show, sharing your experiences, and you have an open invitation, as does Habitat for Humanity. This is, as I mentioned at the beginning, a continuation of an ongoing series of Habitat for Humanity guests that we've been very pleased to have on our show. We wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you
so much for having us. This is great.
Great. You all take care now.
Take care. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
Greg.
Thanks.
That's a good program, David.
We'd like to thank both Krista and Greg for being on our show. I'm a big fan of Habitat for Humanity, and we hope that we'll continue to have more of their folks on our programs in the future as our guests, explaining all the great things that they do around the country. And even as Greg mentioned, whenever he was in the Navy, doing work with Habitat overseas in Singapore and Thailand. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
So, Rick, we just have a few minutes left. Maybe we can highlight some news of interest before we go to our Coaching into Care program.
I wanted to just bring up something because today I had a nice 2-hour Board of Veteran Appeals hearing, but unfortunately today I had a call from two widows to let me know that my client, two of my vets, passed away, and both of them had gone into hospice prior to passing away, and so I kind of knew that they were on the, pretty close to dying. But the reason I bring this up is to anybody out there that's in that similar situation, it's very important that if you've currently got a case pending before the VA or the Board of Veteran Appeals, or if they're in the VA system, that you start to kind of put your ducks in a row and get ready for the expectation that they are going to pass away. Because it's very important as you go forward helping that widow or widower, because there's all sorts of benefits that that are available to you. But I think it's very helpful that if you let your representative or your attorney know in advance of your veteran's passing that it's imminent, then your lawyer or your representative can help you kind of start to get things in preparation. It's no different than in civilian world, if you were looking at your will or your trust or healthcare surrogate forms, it's the same type of deal. But I think it's very important that I bring this up because it happened today. Two great veterans passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that, Rick. I'm sorry. I know it's always a very tough time, obviously, for the family. And it's as you mentioned, it's important to do as much preparation as you can, but as I know, Rick, you've handled in so many cases that even when the veteran passes on, the VA case may continue on through the widow or widower continuing to pursue whether called accrued benefits that the veteran was due before passing, as well as survivor benefits for the widow or widower, things like dependency indemnity compensation, aid and attendance, and other benefits. really important. So they need to work with their representative, whether it's a Veteran Service Organization or an accredited attorney, and look into those matters. So
yeah, and both those cases, I'm currently waiting for a BVA decision.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's as you know, I know you know, Rick, that some of our listeners may not know that the Board of Veteran Appeals is very busy, and they've got a rather large docket of pending cases that their general rule is they take them in the order in which they were appealed, but they can advance cases ahead of others, what they call advancing on the docket, and there are a half a dozen situations where they will do that, including, you know, if the veteran is elderly, but certainly also if the veteran is terminally ill, regardless of age. And those are things that need to be brought to the VA's attention. I think the BVA has gotten pretty good through their computers. They can automatically easily find out the age. So if the veteran is 75 or older, the BVA will, at least what I've been seeing, they'll automatically advance the case on the docket, which means putting it ahead of other cases. If the veteran is gravely ill, terminally ill, and that's something that often needs to be brought to the VA's attention. So,
I had,
all right.
The case I had today, my client's been in and out of homelessness for the last almost 40 years, and he currently lives up in the Marianna, Florida area, which is in the Panhandle, and lives on a piece of property and just a shed, basically. And he's still tinkering on homelessness. And the judge was great. She said, you know, if you don't mind, I'm just going to make a motion to advance your case on the docket based upon your history of homelessness. And I thought that was great that she just took it upon herself to do that. So,
yeah, wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, Rick, we just got a few minutes left. Let me cover some news real quick and then
sure.
Turn it back over to you. In a recent news release, the VA has announced two major decisions related to the presumptive conditions associated with Agent Orange and also particulate matter exposures during military service in Southwest Asia. The first is Agent Orange. As some of our loyal listeners know, that last year Congress amended the law to add three more conditions to the Agent Orange presumptive list for disability compensation purposes. Those conditions are bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, and Parkinsonism. Parkinson's disease already covered, but this is Parkinsonism. Then the second issue involves respiratory conditions due to particulate matter exposures, an issue we've covered over the last 4 years on the show. Have been things like this: environmental exposures, respiratory lung problems, exposure to open air burn pits. But that's open air burn pits, just one cause. There's been a lot of environmental sources of contamination, whether it was the Persian Gulf War in 1990-91 or any of the subsequent post 9/11 wars, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, certainly Iraq, and some of these other areas. So these are issues that are ongoing. If you want more information, go to publichealth.va.gov. That's publichealth.va.gov. Over to you, Rick.
Okay, coaching in the care. it's our every Monday night we like to highlight this program because it's a great program. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching in the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching in the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-825 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. call that number at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Okay, thanks, Rick. And I'd like, once again, thank our two guests tonight, Greg Simpson and Krista Ray of Habitat for Humanity of the Charlotte region. For more information, go to habitat.org. And also Habitat Charlotte region, their website is habitatcltregion.org. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our show this evening. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Corey and Early Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. Hope you'll tune in next week, same time, same station, here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.